We'll come to my account.
Okay.
What I would suggest is we, at the end of this year,
yeah,
we stop it.
Okay.
And then start again. So we'll separate the Q&A
okay.
this year. So we can post a Q&A, but it's so.
Right. Yeah, okay. Never mind. We're on.
When I was in elementary school, so we would always get these sheets to take home before each of the Amtavim. So every Yantav always had one page. What are the Shemot of the Chag? What are the names of the Yantav? So I remember at Pesach, there were always multiple different names for the Yantav. It's Chag of Pesach, there's Chag of Matzos, Man Chiruseinu. Those are the three more popular ones. And there was always Chag HaAviv, the festival of the spring. Again, I'm not sure that's an official halakhic term, Chag HaAviv. But there is no question that the term Aviv, the term spring, and we'll see what Aviv really means in the context of the Torah, is clearly a major component of the celebration of Pesach. To such an extent that you would probably be shocked, I myself was shocked, that it is a close call between how many times the Torah refers to Pesach as Chag HaMatzos and how many times the Torah tells you that it's in the Chodesh Aviv. It says that in Parshas Bo, all of our Kurds are going to try to make little tallies. In Parshas Bo, it says that multiple Tahayomatim, it's in the Chodesh Aviv. It says that later on in Parshas Mishpatim, if I'm not mistaken, it says it twice, and it says it twice in Parshas Kisisa, and then repeats itself several times in Parshas for A, almost like the Torah. You can never tell you enough times that Pesach is in the Chodesh Aviv. Chag HaPesach, the very name of Pesach itself, is not even clear that it's even referring to the other Pesach. Altogether, it may only be referring to Erev Pesach, but we'll talk about that later on. Man Chiruseinu, was a term that Chazal made up. That term does not appear in the Chumash itself. So Chodesh Aviv and Chag Aviv is such a major component of the Yontif that it really requires us to take a step back and understand a little bit what this is all about. Now, in general, when we speak about names, and that's really the topic in terms of our show for tonight, when we speak about names, names are always significant in Tanakh. It's probably not a coincidence that at least the name of the Sefer that we call the Sefer that deals with the tribes is actually called Sefer Shmos. Now, in Chazal also, it's not necessarily referred to as Sefer Shmos, but colloquially it's become known as Sefer Shmos, of course, after the first, second word. So Shmos, just names. The fact that the Torah feels the necessity to begin the Sefer HaGeulah with the names of all Israel, that's in itself something that's startling. So also requires our attention. And even the very first prominent name of Sefer Shmos, you would think that it would be clear who is the player in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Es Yaakov Isha Beisobo. Immediately, almost within the first breath, it already tells us that this individual, Yaakov Avinu, actually has two names. He has a name Yaakov, he has a name Yisrael, and this is, of course, a throwback to the Sefer Bereishis, and this is clearly significant enough that the Sefer Kula begins with just introducing, by the way, you should all know that this man, who is the forefather, the ancestor of all of you, had two names. So names is definitely not something that we want to make light of in terms of understanding the celebration of Pesach, because if there are multiple halachic names, and the name that we really want to focus in our shir with is the notion of Chodesh Aviv, Eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Yaakov and Yisrael, what is the significance of all of this? Just to add another piece to this puzzle, as to just how significant names are in terms of Gula's Mitzrayim. So we know that the Pesukim, a little bit later on in Parshas Shmos, when the Gula's first introduced us, when the Mitzrayim first appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, the very first words out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu is, they can ask me what your name is. So, and the Moshe Rabbeinu has to respond to that question. And then the Moshe Rabbeinu responds to it in great detail at the beginning of Parshas Va'era. So even the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu is someone up for discussion. Is some significance to it. So the name of the Yontif is important. The name of the Sefer is important. The name of who is his ancestor, who is this individual, who is the forefather of all of us, is Yaakov slash Yisrael. Two names are important. And the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu himself also plays a significant role in the Gula process. So what is this all about? What is the secret? What is going on behind the scenes? They say a joke in the Shiva, so we have one question, so it's a question. Two kashas, so it's teretz, three kashas is is ready. So the four kashas is a shekloli. So this is a shekloli of Hashem. Four kashas. Try to understand the name of the Sefer, try to understand the name of Yaakov slash Israel, try to understand the name of the Yom Tov, try to understand the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Four kashas, and we'll try to see what possibly you say. We live in a world that is so fundamentally different on so many different levels, that if you had to pinpoint probably almost that which is the catalyst of so many other changes, why is that whole sync, that whole rhythm so fundamentally different than our great-great-great-grandparents? So we could probably trace it back to the Industrial Revolution. Because ultimately what happened in the Industrial Revolution, basically society, at least the society that we live in, changed from being an agricultural society to being an industrial society. People moved from the farms to the cities. Now again, always people here are dealing with cities. You know, there are still people living on farms. But by and large, the focus of the average person was on land, was on the agriculture. And when a person lives on a farm, a person lives on land, so he is much, much more in sync with the natural world around him. I mean, you know, we have to double check once in a while. We can say, oh, what is the motion? Yes, it's no more. Yes, no. We have to sometimes check. Like I've told over the joke several times when I was once in Rosh Hashanah. It was a joke, a real story. It was very humorous. I was once in Rosh Hashanah, and it was just about time for Shia, beautiful, beautiful, Washington, beautiful, all the sun in the dip of the horizon. And there were these two fellas who I overheard talking. I said, here's my uncle, and then I said, oh, that's Shia, what about that Shia? Ah, it's a Facebook telephone, but that's Shia. He said, it's the sun, the ocean, the horizon. You know, that's what Shia really means. We think Shia means something that says in my mind. It means the sun. We think that the spring means, you know, spring cleaning. We think the spring means, you know, change, fall backwards, spring ahead. But the spring meant in the quote unquote ancient world, in an agricultural world, was literally a rebirth. It was something which was fresh, something which was new, something that, quite frankly, for the several months before, nobody really knew was actually going to happen. Because when we planted our crops back 4, 5, 6 months earlier, we were taking an unbelievable gamble and we didn't always win that game. Every once in a while, the crops failed. Every once in a while, it was a drought, it was a famine, it was a pestilence, and we're gone, and we have nothing to eat. The farmer who sat the entire winter hoping and praying and saying his tehillim that his crops are going to succeed, at what point does he get that realization that something actually occurred here that's going to enable him to go to the next stage of life? When the crops begin to ripen. The wheat, the primary crop, most important one, when he sees the wheat, he sees the barley, he sees the grain that's going to bring him sustenance for the rest of the year. When he sees that that grain has grown, has been successful, and that is exactly what Chodesh means. Rashi says, Chodesh means, pronunciation is, means when the crop is ripening, and you can already see that the fruits of your labor of the last 6 months are actually reaching the point of success, that is Chodesh HaKodesh. Is it a great surprise that the Torah insists that Chodesh HaAviv has to be the month of the celebration of Pesach? How foolish, how ludicrous, how absurd it would be to celebrate Pesach in the middle of January. How
join the meeting.
The program would be to celebrate Pesach in the middle of July. We know just how linked and how important Pesach is to the agricultural cycle, that if it doesn't match up perfectly, what do? To wait another month to be long. That's why we're at Pesach now. If not for this issue of Chodesh Aviv, Pesach would have been long gone. We'd be halfway to Shavuos already. Chodesh Aviv, Shamor is Chodesh Aviv. The Jew must celebrate Pesach dafka when the wheat is beginning to appear, when the barley is beginning to appear, when the grain is beginning to look like it's ripened, because that is not just Chodesh Aviv, that is his Chachos. That is a Chodesh Elochem. And that is the beginning, the first most basic message of Pesach, is that after the dark of winter, there is a new spring. After the dark of Golos, there is a Geula. The natural phenomena, the world of the farm, the world of the agricultural cycle, tells us loud and clear what the message of Pesach is. It's Emunah. As I'll say, that must be first to say this, Roy, the farmer, Poshut Abuna, as dark as Mitzrayim was, is this Chatshus, this new beginning. But one can take a look at this notion of a new beginning, even though this is termed as a Shir Lapshavo, throw a halachic Shakira into this. Yesh Lachor, Yesh Wadun, what's the nature of a new beginning? What's the nature of this Chatshus? So one can understand this Chatshus in one of two ways. One can understand that our approach to this Chatshus, approach to the new beginning is, let's forget everything that came before. Let's start manish, clean slate, start from scratch. What happened, happens over. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to know about it. Why do I have to remember what happened in the past? If things are good now and there's a new, fresh, new dawn, let's look forward and never look backwards. That's one way of understanding this Chatshus. But the other way of understanding this Chatshus is no. Dafka, the Mechayev, this Chatshus is a Mechayev. It's a Mechayev to realize and to pay attention, to be cognizant of where we came from, what happened before. What is the nature of this Chatshus? This Chatshus is something that we ignore what happened before, or we Dafka forget. The opposite is true. We Dafka look back at what happened before to be able to understand and appreciate where we are now. So if the Torah would have only called the Anthropes the Chedisha Aviv, which is Hashem the Chatshus, I wouldn't know what when I wrote. I wouldn't know how I should celebrate on this. I wouldn't know what the nature of the celebration is about Chiyuv Tzeinu with. I might have mistakenly thought that I don't want to hear about Mitzrayim. The last thing I want to talk about is Maror. The last thing I want to say, I say that that was Chalosah. What do I want that for? I'm new, I'm fresh, I'm free. I don't want to hear about building pyramids anymore. Leave me alone. That was last Gilgul. That was last life, last lifetime. So clearly that is not the message of the Lower Seder, not the message of the Yom Pesach as a whole. Because the other name of the Yom Tov Pesach actually puts his Chatshus into the proper perspective. The Torah calls what we call today Pesach Chag HaMatzos. What is Chag HaMatzos? What's the essence of Matzah? So Yadua is obvious, both in the world of Halacha and the world of Machshava, that Matzah is what we call in Halacha type of Sanskrit. It's literally an internal contradiction. The two themes that permeate Matzah are not precise of each other. Matzah, the Torah itself, in Parshas Re'eh, describes as lechem ha'ani. It's the lechem, Allah ba'anid yachol ha'basar d'barad b'tzrayim. It's the lechem that we ate, and there was nothing else to eat. It's the lechem that some, as Ibn Ezra says, that it's called lechem ha'ani, because the Egyptians forced to eat matzah. You know why? Because, as we all know, matzah stays in you for a long time. And therefore, the Egyptians figured, if we give them a good, solid breakfast of matzah, they won't be hungry for the rest of the day. So matzah is a terrible thing. It's something that's synonymous with the person who doesn't even take control and eats the next meal. It's something that a taskmaster gives you to keep you quiet for the rest of the day. That's the lechem ha'ani. Terrible. And yet, matzah, the bread of Geula. Matzah, zu, shon, rochim, ashuma, ashum, shenikwa, b'senim, mitzrayim, for his, we take a month, and bino, and macha, and bino, 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 matzah is a sign of Geula. Matzah is a sign of Kadosh Baruch Hu showering us with his love. Matzah is not a sign of bitterness, but it is bitterness. So what is it? How does matzah both be a kiyum of lechem ha'ini and a lechem and a symbol of cheiros at the same time? It goes back to a chakira. Depends on what you think chatshus is. Depends on what you think cheiros is. If you think that cheiros means to ignore the past, then you're eating the wrong food. If you think that chatshus, and a new beginning means to appreciate the new beginning with the understanding where you came from, with the recognition of how you got to where you are, then matzah makes perfect sense. So this idea that there are two themes that are playing out, both at the Leila Seder and throughout the Yom Tov Pesach, that on the one hand we're focusing on the new and the fresh and we're looking forward, and yet at the same time we're looking forward, we have our eye behind the shoulder to understand and appreciate where we came from. So that notion, that dual notion, is not only unique to Pesach, not only a kiyum of Kadosh Aviv, not only a kiyum of Matzah, but it actually goes back to our ancestor himself, the Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu, as we mentioned a few moments ago, also had two names. A name in Tanakh is not just what they call you, but it defines your personality, defines your life mission. Yaakov Avinu begins his life as Yaakov, and then at a much later point, he is crowned with the title Yisroel. And what is the difference between the two? So, something said very clearly, I'll elaborate upon it. that Yaakov is a Lashon Ochezes Ma'akev. Esav is holding on to heel to the foot of Esav, namely Esav's coming out first, Esav's on top, and Esav's stepping on him. And he's trying to hold on for dear life. Yaakov is a very, very difficult name. It has the connotation of Golus, it has the connotation of suffering. And yet Yisrael, Kisarisin Alekim and Ashbetuchal, is a Russian Tsar, it's a Russian officer of royalty, majesty. So who is Yaakov? I would have thought that when Yaakov's name is changed, Yaakov to Yisrael, that would be the last name we want to hear. I don't want to hear about Yaakov anymore. That was kind of my separation. That was the beginning of Bereishis. What does that have to do with now? And then Chazal tell us startingly that in the first Bech of Brachas, called Korah to Avram, Avram, like you have that name. If you call Avram Avinu Avram, you're not allowed to do that. Lo yikar shim kram, Avram, kim Avram. If you call Sarah Sarai, that's an Avera, you're not allowed to do that. But by Yaakov Yisrael, Torah itself calls him Yaakov and Yisrael. Same breath, Ishu Beisil, Yaakov, Ishu Beisil Bavu. Why says in Brachas, not only is it not inappropriate to call Yaakov by both his names, Kodesh Baruch himself calls him by Yaakov and Yisrael. If you look very, very carefully at the Pesuk in Parshas Vayigash, so you'll notice that the Torah itself not only changes, but possibly even within the same phrase, the Torah changes. The Torah says, Yovo, Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu is coming down to Mitzrayim to go greet Yosef, and Yisrael is on his way down, and the Pesuk says, Yovo Yaakov Yaakov. And the Shbrach says to Yaakov, because his name is Yisrael, it's his name Yaakov. And then the Shbrach tells him, gives him the Rehua, that there's going to be a Shiva Mitzrayim, he's going to be terrible. And then it says, "Vayisu b'nei Yisrael es Yaakov Avir." Why the description? The same phrase. You get the same part. The same phrase. "Vayisu b'nei Yisrael es Yaakov Avir." The answer is very simple. Yaakov always means Tzara, and Yisrael always means Reva, always means Geula. Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, thinking that this is the moment of great triumph. This is the moment of personal Geula. If he goes down as Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, it's true. It's a moment of great personal triumph. It's the beginning of a terrible chapter in people of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the only Yaakov Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yisrael, says, now you're a Shtipul Yaakov also. But Yisu B'nei Yisrael is Yaakov Aviyah. The Shvatim did not know about this before yet. The Shvatim were they were flying high. They had to be reunited with the family. Their Aveira had been, the Tshuva was accepted and their Aveira was rectified. And there's going to be family unity and harmony once again. They were thrilled. Yisu b'nei Yisrael. Yes, it was a great moment of personal family joy. It's Yaakov. Yaakov understood that this moment is much deeper than that. This moment of Golos, this moment of Shiva, about to occur. Therefore, the Yisu b'nei Yisrael is Yaakov. It's both Yisrael and Yaakov all rolled into one. The very names Yaakov and Yisrael, Elish Shmeis b'nei Yisrael, Yaakov Ishu b'nei Sabao. The Torah is already being Meramez. The Torah is already hinting to us that. Yes, this Sefer will end on a good note. The Enei Beis Yisrael B'chol Maseirim. It's going to end up as Klal Yisrael. It's going to end up being known as B'nai Yisrael. But the Sefer begins, Yaakov, begins as the B'nai Yaakov, begins as Avraham Yitzchak B'Yaakov. Yaakov is referred to as Yaakov. That is Yisrael, the bulk of Sefer Shemos. This idea of almost at the same time, as we celebrate the new grain, we look back to the hard winter months behind us. As we celebrate the new Geula, we look back to the bitter Golos. As we partake of the matzah, we do not forget the Lechem Oni. Why is this message wrong? So, again, take the world of oneness a little bit, multiple reasons. There are multiple kiyumim, multiple reasons why this is so profound. So first of all, on a most simple level, the notion of appreciation, that if a person thinks that everything is great and has been that way forever, and there is not a recognition of just how bad things were, that gufa is a lack of a personhood. So part of that curse of Tov experience, well, I say the celebration of Pesach, is to understand and appreciate just how good things are in contrast to just how bad they were. So the mentioning of the bad, the Chazal speaking about the level said the master of Gnus and Sam Yosheva, the focusing on the Lechem Oni at the same time we celebrate the Geul of Matzah, the referring to Yaakov as Yaakov at the same time that we celebrate him being the status of Israel, So number one, that recognition of the past, the negativity and suffering of the past, adds to the appreciation of the future. But there's another key as well. There's another reason as well. Because it sets us up for the following, almost like a defense. Because yes, it's true, Baruch Hashem, things were wonderful. There was a tremendous gula, and there was much to be happy about. But as we learned back in Sefer Shmos, those who try him, as terrible as it was not the last of the Golias of Chayzel, not the last of Shibun. And until Achris Hayom, until Mashiach comes, so we are in that cycle of history, that there are ups and downs for the Jewish people. There are moments of quasi Ba'ula, not in the sense of Ba'ula Shlema, but in terms of good positive things in the world happening. And then there are downpours. And if, when the good times come, we forget about the downsides, when Chalila, those down times come again, we will not know how to deal with it. We will not have the strength, the inner resolve, how to deal with the tzaras, how to deal with the shibud. So we never forget previous shibudim, because the recognition, the mentioning, and the reliving of the previous inuin, previous shibudim, gives us the wherewithal, gives us the ability to deal with future tzaras as well. So the mentioning of the Oni, mentioning of the Yaakov, and the mentioning of, even as we sit down for the Chodesh Avir, realizing that Avir doesn't come in a vacuum, Avir comes after the dark, bleak, snowy, cold, difficult winter behind us. That enables us to celebrate the now, and it also gives us the wherewithal to deal with if we have future setbacks, which inevitably, during the cycle of Golus Geula, will continue to occur. So one would have thought that out of the names of the Yom Tov, I think Chag Aviv is a pretty good one. I think that the Chag Matzos is not a bad one as well, because both of those two names really encapsulate our entire message of tonight. However, there's one name of this Yom Tov that just doesn't seem to fit the message. And that's the name that we have come to know and to love, and to refer to this special Yom Tov as Pesach. Or Pesach, depending on where you are. Ashkenazis. Pesach. Pesach is the strangest name for this holiday. It's bizarre because it really doesn't get to anything that we're talking about. And quite frankly, it doesn't even address the Yom Tov. If you look carefully at the Pesukim, the Pashup Shad is that the name Chag HaPesach refers to Erev Pesach. It's the time when you shech the Korban Pesach. Take a look at the Pesukim. The Torah says, "Avasa yom lachar shazeh, Pesach laHashem, uvachavisha asa yom lachar shazeh, Chag HaMatzos laHashem." Pesach is Erev Pesach in the afternoon, is the Chag HaPesach, time of Shechit Korban Pesach. Yes, we eat the Korban Pesach at night, but by the third day Chol HaMoed, by the time you're in Six Flags, so it's not Chag HaPesach, and if it is Chag HaPesach, the Korban Pesach is long nicer at that point. And yet, nobody in the right mind would ever say, where are you going to be for Chag HaMatzos? Where are you planning on being for Zman HaRaseinu? And, you know, what's the schedule for Minyanim on Chodesh Aviv? We just don't go, we call the Pesach. That's just the way it is. Where did that come from? What is that all about? So here, one of the most beautiful, you know, insightful comments of a Levitz lady, where Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev explains that this strange phenomenon that we refer to Pesach as Pesach is really an expression, we read about it in the Shemot Shirim, about the whole give and take that takes place between Klal Yisrael and Kedosh Baruch Hu throughout Shir HaShirim, that expression of love from one to another. So the Pesukim written Baruch HaKedosh, Shlom HaMelech, the Moshel of Abbas Hashem, and Rabbi writes it's true, but it's the beautiful, most spiritual holy marshal of the love between Knesset Yisrael and Kedosh Baruch Hu is a dialogue back and forth. Why do we think of Kedosh Baruch Hu is so special? And we give a whole metaphorical explanation as to what's so beautiful about Kedosh Baruch Hu. And Kedosh Baruch Hu was asked the same question. And what's so special about these people? Let me tell you a little bit about my beloved people. And Klal Yisrael described in loving terms of Kedosh Baruch Hu, Kedosh Baruch Hu described in loving terms of Klal Yisrael. It says, that's where this notion came from, that we refer to Pesach as Chag Pesach, And the Torah never uses it. The Torah refers to the Chag Matzos, because matzos are ultimately something that Klal Yisrael did. We baked the matzos. We left with the matzah on our backs. That's something that we did. And if there's Baruch wants to make mention of that, because he loves us, he doesn't want to take credit for himself. Let me tell you, says the Baruch, about my beautiful, wonderful nation. Look at the amuna that they have. They left literally with a couple of pounds of shmur matzah on their back. That's not all they took with them. Look at the amuna that they had. Left the shmur b'midbar, matzachim b'midbar. Kadosh Baruch Hu is seeing the praises of Klal Yisrael, and that's why he calls it, his Torah, he calls it Chag Matzos. In Adavim, we have no choice. In Adavim, we have to follow the halachic pattern, so we have to go ahead with Matzos. Hashem b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when Klal Yisrael speak about this beloved Yontif, we don't want to talk about ourselves. We want to talk about our beloved. Pesach is what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. We did nothing. We sat behind closed doors with dam on our doorposts and did nothing. We did nothing. Baruch Hu did everything. He did it. And evil Malach inside the Kosher. And me, Chveid of the Atzma, Baruch Hu did the mace, and we did nothing. When you love somebody, I don't want to talk about my greatest triumphs. I want to speak about my beloved. We, Klal Yisrael, for thousands of years, have adopted the name that is not the correct Allah name. It's the name of Chag HaPesach Hashem. But perhaps, to conclude this Tashkafa program this evening, why is it so important that we refer to the Yontif Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it is all the Kadosh Baruch B'Chvod Va'atzmo that taught us about the significance of not focusing only on the here and now, but remembering the past as well. Because that very first discussion between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, that what the shame of Kadosh Baruch Hu is, Shavina says, you know your name from Sefer Bereishis, El Shakai, I know that name. Shmi Hashem, I never heard of the name Yitkipa. I don't know what that means. What, please explain to you, what is your essence? The essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the shame Yitkipa of Kipa. We cannot even begin, not even a drop in the ocean, a suburb, anything about the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but almost like in the Chayasim de Pshuta. Only thing we can say about the shame of Kadosh Baruch Hu is that there are three words in Lashon HaKodesh that seem to almost combine together, two words that are not, have very, very different meanings. But Haya Hova V'Yia somehow have joined together to form that word, that mystical spiritual name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is a combination of Haya Hova V'Yia, because that's the essence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is above time. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks at the world now, he's looking at the world the way it was, he's looking at the world the way it's going to be. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us that the limited way that we can, we have to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to live our lives like a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kabiyachol, and we have to look at the world, the past, present, and the future. That we do not look at grain that begins to grow in springtime and say, oh, it's a whole new world, forget about winter, forget about tomorrow, forget about the Lechnodi. We sit down to our matzah, and at the same time that we're celebrating the Ula, we look back at Golos. We are the B'nai Yisrael, and we are also the B'nai Yaakov. And for multiple reasons. Because by focusing on the difficulties of the past, it gives us an appreciation of the present, and it gives us that strength to deal with potential future as well. So where did we get that secret from? Be able to not just look at the world in a very, very limited scope, one split second in front of us. Where did we learn that from? We learned it from our beloved. We learned it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Pesach Hu Hashem. So every day that we focus, we call it the Yom Tov Pesach. Every time we say those words, Pesach, every time your wife says to me, "Pray for Pesach." So stop and think for a second. Why do we call you Pesach? We call you Pesach because Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is Pesach called Pesach. And Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us that how to be above time, how to be a higher hope of Yia, and we, in our own limited, mortal, also dumb way, have to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, Shemos, Shmos, of the Yontif, of the people, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kvod L'Yatzvel, play a critical role in Rosh Kisiyat Nishmaya, be able to understand, be able to grasp in our limited capacity, all the greatness, wonderful, wonderful lessons and messages that permeate in this wonderful, wonderful time of the open up our eyes to be to Russell, to be able to appreciate and understand, to become one step closer to him at his time. So now we're going to switch gears a little bit.